right. We're going to, if you want to bring forward those notebooks, ladies, so you can we can show them. And then anyone in fifth grade or below, sorry, sixth graders, you're out. You don't get to enjoy this. But we're going to show you the notebooks here. That usually these will just be back on the table in the back. So when you come into the service, parents, you can grab as many as you need to for your kids. And then, so go ahead and open them. We'll show you what's in here. So we've got crayons in here.
Mechanical pencil,
all right. And then you've got papers for that go along with today's message. So today from Joshua 3 and 4. So there's things to color, other activities for them to do. And then when they're done, they can take those papers home with them. But please leave the notebooks and the mechanical pencil and the crayons and put those notebooks back on the table in the back on your way out. And then we'll recycle those for the next week. They'll have the pages in there for then. So if there's anyone who would like to use them as they come back, just raise your hand and you can use those today. Let us know how that goes. All right, let's turn in our Bible to Joshua chapter 3. If you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 215, Joshua 3. Last May, I had the privilege of going on a field trip with my family to Washington, D.C. And of course, there were many popular tourist sites that we saw, but we also were able to stop by some of the memorials. We have a picture of some of those here. The Korean War Memorial. The next one is World War II. Then the Arlington Cemetery, of course. And while we were there, we were able to be able to go through the ceremony that they have each day, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And all this reminds us of those who have served and have given their lives for our country in the past. Also, as we were in Washington, D.C., we certainly saw memorials to past presidents, as well as museums full of memorials that had to do with places and times and things from our past history. Memorials come in all shapes and sizes. They come in some objects, tombstones, people, relationships. There's all kinds of memorials. They remind us of something that has happened in the past, and they can be used for good, certainly, and also to draw us to God. When we come to Joshua chapter 3 this morning, we're going to see a memorial that the people of Israel set up. And I want to encourage you to not just consider the memorial that they have, but what is a memorial that is in your life as well. Now, they had already been delivered as a nation from Egypt. God had led them toward the promised land. But they had rebelled, and so they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But now they're getting close. Things have changed. Moses is gone. Their new leader is Joshua. And they're getting ready to go to the city of Jericho and defeat them. And God would give them victory in Joshua chapter 6. If you're in Joshua 3, let's go ahead and look to the last verse of Joshua chapter 2 first. Joshua 2:24. Spies had been sent out to look at Jericho, and this is the report they came back with. Joshua 2:24. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." So Joshua receives this report, and in chapter 3, he immediately makes preparations for the people to cross the Jordan River and go take the key city of Jericho. So let's take a look, chapter 3, verse 1. "In the early morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." So there's a few things we should know about this trip. First, from where they were to the Jordan River was about 7 miles, so you know, they had no bus transportation at that time. They were going to walk, not only take themselves and their children, their families, they were going to take all their possessions that they had to be able to get to the Jordan River. It says that they had 3 days to figure out the organization of how they were going to cross the river and communicate it to the people. They also got to look at the river. Now, due to the melting winter snow from Mount Hermon to the north, the river had a very strong and rapid current at that time. This was flood season. So they look and they were able to tell right away, all right, we're not going to be able to do this on our own. We're going to need help. How were we going to cross? Now, before we go any further in the message, let's remember that all that we read here from anywhere in the Scriptures, including the Old Testament, including this story today, is also for us. As we traveled through the book of Exodus, we talked about 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that reminds us that all Scripture is applicable to our lives today. Well, here's another verse from the New Testament that talks about stories like this from the Old Testament. Up here is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us." Everything we read in the Scriptures, the Old Testament, and this story this morning is not just about the nation of Israel. How are they going to get across the Jordan so they can go into Jericho? This is about you. This is about your children. This is about generations to come. There's something that God wants you to be able to take from this story this morning and apply to your life and to the future. So let's consider the situation that God purposely put Israel in, and He purposely puts us in often. And let's write this down in your notes. If you're taking notes this morning, there's outline in the bulletin. And there's also extra outlines just right outside here if you want to grab some extra. But here's the first thing to write down. God puts us in a place where we will need Him. And He loves to do that. This is what He did with the people of Israel. He puts them in front of a Jordan River where there's no way they can get across on their own. Now, they had seen this before. They had been to the Red Sea. Remember when they came out of Egypt? They came to the Red Sea pretty quickly. The Egyptian army was behind them. And how are we going to cross? God parted the waters of the Red Sea. They came up on either side and they passed 1 to 2 million people on dry ground. And then the Egyptian army followed in after them and they all died as God brought the waters back. Well, now here they are in front of the Jordan River. What's God going to do? So what does He tell them? He says, I want you to follow, in verse 3, I want you to move out after you see the religious leaders move out with the Ark of the Covenant. Well, if you forget what that is, or we're not here as we looked in Exodus, let's be reminded of what the Ark of the Covenant is. It's explained more in Exodus chapter 25. Let's see a picture up here of it. It was about 4 feet long, 2.5 feet tall, and about 2.5 feet wide. It was made of sturdy wood, covered with pure gold on the inside and outside. And inside, there were three important objects that they were to carry with them throughout their wilderness wanderings. You have Aaron's rod that God used to do all kinds of miracles. You have the jar of manna. This is how God provided them this bread from heaven, that even though they complained about it, God sustained them throughout those 40 years. And then you have the tablets, the Ten Commandments, to remind them this is the standard. This is what God expects of you in your relationship with Him. So let's put back up there the Ark of the Covenant. So this was kept in the Holy of Holies. This was in the part of the tabernacle that shows the presence of God. One time a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifices. If he was not pure, if he did not do what he was supposed to do, he would die. They would tie a rope around his ankle because no one else wanted to go in there and die in God's presence, and they would pull him out. Anytime you see the Ark of the Covenant, it was to be carried, not touched, because if you touched it, you were in danger of dying immediately. But that was the presence of God. So as they carry the Ark of the Covenant out in front of them, okay, that's where God is. That's where I want to go. Let's write this down. God asks us to watch for His presence and follow Him. That's what He was doing with the Ark of the Covenant. Here's where I am, so now follow me. Now today, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant to follow. God lives within us, but He still asked us, see what I'm doing, see where I'm headed, and follow me where I want you to go. Always be aware of His presence and then follow Him. So the preparation had taken place, and now we have the miracle. Join me in chapter 3 of Joshua, beginning in verse 10. Here's what's going to happen. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, verse 13. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. This is pretty amazing what he's telling them is about to happen. You're about to see another miracle. Choose 12 representatives, one from each tribe. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and when your feet touch the water, I'm going to dry it up, just like I did at the Red Sea. This was something that truly happened. This was not a magician's trick. This was not a sleight of hand. This was not an optical illusion. This really happened. The people of Israel saw it happening right before their eyes. So how did it play out? Just as God said that it would. Come look at Joshua 3, verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now, if you skip ahead here to chapter 4 for a moment and look at verse 18. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. Did this really happen? Yes. It took place just as God said that it would. The Jordan River is rough and overflowing. The people in faith did what God said to do. The religious leaders from each tribe are holding the Ark of the Covenant. They place their foot in the water. It stops flowing. They get to the middle and they stand on dry ground while all the people pass by them. Let's consider this. Let's write this down. God loves to do things where we can only say, it was God. That's what God did here. They couldn't cross on their own. So God did something so that once they crossed, that's the only explanation. God did this. So the question for all of you this morning is, have you been in those circumstances before? God did something in a relationship, health-wise, a job, anything in life where you realized, okay, I can't do this. And what did happen, you look back at it and say, the only explanation is God. He wants to put you in situations like that where you have no answer, where you don't know how it's going to work out, how you're going to be able to get through this. And so then in those difficult times, and sometimes I'm sure you have been through some times of hardship or sorrow or mourning, and when someone asks you, how do you get through? Your only answer is God. God got me through. That's what we want to notice in our lives as well. This is what God does. How do you remember the things that God has done for you? It might be a song. You see one of your children. You look at a picture. There's some object causes you to remember what had happened in your life and what God had done for you. But often, and understandably so, we sometimes forget what God did for us. Maybe the big things we might remember, but some of what we would consider to be little things, that God still was at work in our life, we don't tend to remember. And if we don't remember, we're not thanking Him for those things, and we're not telling stories about what God has done. Many times after God would do an amazing miracle for His people, He would ask them, I want you to build a reminder, a memorial, so you'll remember, not only now, but in generations to come, what I've done. And that's what happens here. Join me at the beginning of chapter 4. Joshua 4, beginning in verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them at the place where you stay tonight. Verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?'" Verse 7. "Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So God says, okay, I want you to take 12 men, one from each tribe, go into the middle of the Jordan, pick up a stone, put it on your shoulder, carry it over. So these were big stones. Place them here, and this is going to be a memorial. So that in the future, when your children ask, and they will ask, "What are these rocks all about?" you get to tell them the story of how God stopped up the Jordan River and we passed through on dry ground on our way to the promised land. Joshua explains it further here in chapter 4. Skip to verse 21. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over.'" Verse 24. "He did this," why? "So that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Let's write this down. God wants us to pass our stories of his faithfulness to the next generation. God never intended for the incredible stories that you have to tell to die with you. He intended them to be passed on to your children and to your grandchildren and into the future. When they were to set these 12 stones up, they knew that eventually the kids would look at these stones and they hadn't just crossed over. It was later and they would ask, "What are these stones all about?" And they were to tell them, "It's when we were going to the promised land. We came to the Jordan River. We couldn't get across and God stopped the waters and we all went across on dry ground." It was to remind us of what he did with our ancestors at the Red Sea where we all crossed on dry ground. And this is all not about us. This is about the faithfulness of God. Here is what he has done in our lives through our history, and here is what he is doing for you. And those children would pass that story to their children and on to future generations. There's all kinds of memorials in our lives. I'm going to challenge you at the end of today's message to make a memorial for you, for your family, to remember what God has done as well. Sometimes we have memorials that are right on our bodies, aches and pains and past surgeries and marks that remind us, if we let them choose to remind us, of God's faithfulness. On my left hand, on my left pinky, that's pretty small, you can't see it unless you're actually up here looking, but I have a scar on my left pinky, and it reminds me, or it could remind me, if I choose, of God's faithfulness. I was in seminary, and I was cleaning a glass, and the bottom of the glass fell off, and so the glass jagged edge were coming down, and by the time I tried to pull my hand away, it caught my finger. It was bleeding profusely. Eventually got it to the hospital and stitched up. But as I look at it, I can let it choose to remind me and be a memorial of God's faithfulness. My finger didn't get cut off. It didn't hit any other part of the body that could have been worse. He had the people around me that knew what to do and to get me to the hospital. He had someone there to be able to stitch me up. It healed. But it's a reminder of God's grace in my life. It's a reminder of the relative health he's given me. It's a reminder that things could have been worse. It's a reminder that God is always present, if we choose to let it be a memorial. There are memorials of things that we have received or accumulated over the years. One thing that I have, and many of you have, I'm sure, as well, is a diploma. This is from 2008 when I got my doctorate of ministry. And we have memorials that we can use for a variety of ways. We can use this to say, "Hey, look how smart I am. Look what I accomplished. Aren't I great?" We can use it for that. We can remember experiences we went through, or we can use these as a memorial. I can think back and say, God is the one who paid the bill for the classes I took. God is the one who let me know about that school. God is the one who put other students and teachers around me to help me learn in that particular environment. God is the one who helped me to be able to learn what I needed to do and do well in the tests and be able to graduate. God gave me the experiences that I needed to grow in Him. And all glory goes to Him. I tried to remind myself of this in a previous ministry. I had a bathroom really just off my office, a private bathroom. And so I hung this diploma in the bathroom. So when I'm sitting on the toilet, I can see my diploma. And the reason I did that, at least in my mind, the reason I did that was to remind myself, you're not so great. Remember who you are and that it's only because of God that you can accomplish anything. This has sat in this office for 4 years in this plastic here in my corner of my office. Eventually it might get on a wall. But the important thing is that some of you who have things, accomplishments that you have, you can use those for yourself, or you can use those as a memorial to say, look at what God has done in my life. There are numerous examples in our lives. I'm going to encourage you to think of one. But before we do that, I want us to take a step back and to take a look at some scriptures together in the songbook of scriptures, in the Psalms, and to think about what is God asking us to do today and also through our lives. How important is this that we remember what He has done? And so I'm going to ask all of you to help me a little bit with this. Let's all stand together for a few moments. We're going to look up here and see several scriptures on the wall. Let's go ahead to the first one here. So I will say the reference. I will read what's in the black and then the second part of it that's in all red. If you would read these in unison with me. Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Psalm 26:7. Proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. 34:1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. 35:28. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. 45. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. Psalm 71:15. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. 73:28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. 78:4. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. 78:6. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Psalm 79:13. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise. Psalm 105:1. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Psalm 105:5. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. Psalm 107:2. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Thank you. You're reading better than me. Psalm 107:22. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. 117:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. 145:4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. In Psalm 150, verses 2 and 6, Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you catch a theme in those verses? All through the Scriptures, God says, think about what He's done. Think about who He is. And then, tell the stories. Talk about Me, God says. Let everyone know from generation to generation how great I am and what I have done for you. This is what was supposed to happen after this memorial was set up. One more passage here in Joshua chapter 4. Come back to verse 8. Joshua 4, verse 8. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Verse 9. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up to prepare for our final song. But before we do sing, I want you to consider something else with me. And on the backside of your notes, there's something else for us to write down in a moment. Going to ask our greeters or those who are able to pass out the stones that are back there in the back. And so parents, you can decide if you want your kids to have one of these little stones right now or if you want to hang on to them. But I'd like everyone to be able to take one of these stones as a reminder this week of the story from Joshua chapters 3 and 4. So as those are being passed out, I'm going to encourage you to take this home with you and place this somewhere where you will see it each day and maybe more than once a day to remember not just what God did for Israel back then in crossing of the Jordan River and in their setting up of the memorial stones, but then I want you to be reminded to take the next step, to apply this to your life and to your family. One more thing I'd like you to write down in your notes. The next step I want to challenge you with this week. Make a memorial that points to the faithfulness of God. Make a memorial that points to the faithfulness of God. I think this is a natural response from this message here in Joshua chapters 3 and 4. For you as a couple, and even with your kids as a family, I'll challenge you this week to talk about some things that will lead you to making a memorial that you will see, that your children will see, that others will see, that will cause them in the future to ask you, what's that all about? And you get to tell a story of God's faithfulness. It can be anything. It certainly can be something that's already at your house or something you already have or pictures. It can be something you create. It can really be anything that would tell the story of something God has done for you or in your family so that we can point people to Him, so that we can tell a story of God's faithfulness. So here are some things in your notes of maybe how to come up with that. Talk of some of the ways in your family. Think, what has God done for us in the past? What has He done for us recently that have shown who God is, that we want to be thankful for? Maybe that will lead you to a memorial. Look for something you already have or that you can create to be a reminder of God's faithfulness. As it says here then, find a place where you can put it so that you will see it often and that others might also ask you about it and then tell the stories of God's faithfulness. I would also love to hear those stories. If you decide to take this challenge as a family and you make a memorial and you have a story to tell, let me know. I'd love to hear what that story is. So that's the challenge that I have for you through this week. Let's stand together and close as we sing.